Reiner Schock from TSN. Join the Schocker. How are you?
Just waking up.
Really? Tough afternoon for you.
Yeah, the third day, second or third day after coming back from overseas is always the one that punches you right in the pants.
That's fair.
It's just like, dragging it around a little bit.
Now, before we get to the real stuff, are you two high-maintenance singers going to submit your song soon?
When do you need them by?
Like, last night?
Oh. Well, there might be a secret rehearsal happening at some point today. And so we'll let you know afterwards if the Hanson song we want to do is working out or not.
Oh, wow. Wow. I like it. So, by the way, folks, if you want to see Rashad, Cassian, and many of the others battle it out tomorrow night on the Rocks, go to jasongregor.com. Get your tickets there. They're $35, but you get all your money back when you come to the door in GCs, and you get a beverage ticket as well. All goes to charity, so it'll be great. Shar, quickly, your thoughts on the Gabranson trade to Vancouver?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like Eric Gabranson. I don't think he's the perfect player, but I like him. He's big, skates pretty well for a big guy. He's a tough guy to play against, stands up for his teammates. He increases the compete level on your team. I like him as a player. And I've never been super high on McCann. We saw him in Penticton there, and he's a good player, and he's young still. But, I see the value in Gabranson, so I'm okay with the deal. I'm okay with the deal in terms of what Vancouver gave up to get him. You?
Oh, to me, I'm kind of surprised what Florida's doing, because they trade away a guy who they use. He played the most minutes of their team. So unless you're saying that their head coach and everybody they don't agree with, and maybe that's the case because we've seen a lot of changes there. And even if you don't say, okay, because we all know he's not their best defenseman, no doubt about it, but he's a legitimate number four defenseman at worst for your team. I think that's fair. Size, skates well enough. Yeah, he doesn't bring you a lot of offense. So what? Jason Smith never did, and I don't think anyone questioned that he wasn't a top four defenseman. So I look at Gabranson, and I see, okay, here's some value. You know what you're getting. Florida has really good young centers in Barkov and Bukestad and Trocheck. And now they get McCann. I'm like, why? Like, it wasn't. Yeah. Like, to me, I'm not even sure they're going to re-sign Campbell. So now you're losing two of your top four. I think, A, they must be high in Petrovic in the organization, which is fine, or they think they're going to get a right shot guy in free agency. Because to me, it's kind of surprising to move away a defenseman when you also could be losing Campbell. So you're going to lose two of your top four defensemen in one offseason.
Well, I'll tell you who they're really high on is Matheson. I mean, he played well. He played most of the season in the minors, I believe, but played well for Team Canada, played well in the playoffs. From what I saw him at the World Championships, he looks like he's ready to take on more than apparently he was taking on there. And I read some comments out of Florida about their confidence in him and what they've seen from him as being part of the reason why they were okay making that deal. So I think they're ready to see him take on an increased role. But I agree with you. I don't quite understand the return, the primary piece being a young center. But it's a new general manager, anxious to get his feet wet and pull the trigger on a deal. And so he traded away a 6'5", 200 and some pound, stay at home defenseman who, I think a lot of teams would like to have that guy in their second pairing or their third pairing.
And the other thing, Ryan, is the people that suggest, what you see is what you get from Gabranson. Big defensemen historically have taken longer to develop, even though he came in the NHL. It's history has repeated itself time and time again. I'm stunned at how many people are saying, 24-year-old defenseman, this is the best he's going to be.
No, I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, I think part of Eric Gabranson, I think you need to put him in a spot where he's in the right spot in the lineup. We talk about that a lot with different defensemen and different players. Play him in the right spot. And, 20 minutes a night is a good chunk of ice time for him. He did okay. I mean, he had a decent year. He's never going to put up big numbers, but he was a plus player. And I think if you put him in the right spot, which is at the, in your number four spot or maybe your number five spot, then you give him the best chance to succeed. And look, he was a high pick for sure. And so expectations maybe from the word go might have been a little different for him. But, getting a really good number three or four defenseman, there's value in that, and he's still young. So I like him. I like his game. We saw what he did when he came through Edmonton and the competitiveness that he showed, and I've always thought that he would be a good target for the Oilers, but not that primary target, right? He'd be that good secondary guy they'd go out and get.
Well, and the Oilers right now, if we're just looking, obviously they had basically the same second-round pick, right? They could have given up another third if they wanted to, but they didn't have a Jared McCann in their organization. They don't have, like, the young center they have is Leon Draisaitl, right? They don't
they
have
him. Maybe you can make, depending on what Florida thinks, you look at Yakupov and go, yeah, there's a young player that they could move, but I think the value isn't necessarily there, so... Yeah, I mean, could the Oilers have been on it? Maybe. Were they? I don't know. But if you look at what the return was, that's tough for the Oilers to match because they're not giving up any one of their three centers for Eric DeBranson.
Yeah, no. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. I'll say this about Vancouver. With the emergence of Ben Hutton and Tanev, they suddenly, you know, you added DeBranson. They've got a nice diversity in their top four defense.
Yeah, and Hutton... I didn't see Hutton much the Worlds because, well, Bill Peters never played him. and then benched him the rest of the tournament. I was surprised at that, by the way, that I thought Peters would have worked him in a little bit at least in some of those blowouts. But anyway, Hutton's a good young player. Tanev's an excellent defenseman. In fact, I had one of the members of the coaching staff say that, boy, working with Tanev every day, he's an underappreciated defenseman around the league with how good he is and the number of different things he can do. And So maybe an underappreciated player there. And then you add Goodbranson to the mix. And, yeah, it's not a bad blue line that they have. They got some work to do, but they're definitely better off than some.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
They're into the dance, my man. They have three rounds done. And I think regardless of who wins tonight, the Sharks go in as the favorite for the Stanley Cup final.
Well, I think so, too. I think that it's been so many years of not being able to get over the hump that whatever piece they've put into place, whatever they've kind of figured out that they were stumbling on before, with that out of the way, I don't know what it's going to take to stop them, but it's going to be significant. The confidence they'll build from this, that they'll get from this as a group, is going to go a really long way, and I absolutely think they end up the favorites heading in. The way that they're playing, the way their best players are playing, the confidence they have, the goaltending they're getting, Brent Burns is just an exceptional defenseman. They got everything. Like they got depth. They've got everything. So the reason nobody ever wanted to pick them was because of what happened in the past, and they've kind of slayed that dragon a little bit. And now I don't know what it'll take to stop them.
Well, I don't see a weakness in their team right now. Like, Joe Pavelski is on fire. You know, Couture and Thornton obviously producing a lot. Their top four back-end defensemen, Paul Martin and Braun and Vlasic and Burns, the latter two, I think both going to be on the World Cup team for Canada. And Jones has given them probably the most consistent goaltending we've ever seen in the postseason for San Jose. Outside of, I guess, when Artur Erbe and his great mask was upsetting the Detroit Red Wings way back in the 90s.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that piece in net is an important one. So that sounded a little bit obvious. But they've had other goalies in the past that they've been able to – you know, they've been okay back there, but what they get from Jones is, you know, they get a guy at $3 million who's giving them starting money performance. So really, they're getting really good value in net. I know they're paying, you know, a couple million bucks for backup, but still, to get the level of goaltending they've gotten out of Jones for what they're paying for him, they've got him locked down for a couple more years here. They're finally solidified in net, and it's interesting because, I mean, Jones was one of those guys. When we were evaluating who the Oilers should be chasing down or who their next goaltender should be, there was a list of guys who were going to be the next guy, guys that are poised to – they haven't been given the opportunity yet, and once they are, you know, boom, they'll be the guys. I mean, Jonathan Bernier was that guy at one time playing behind Quick. And Martin Jones was that guy playing behind Quick. Cam Talbot was that guy playing behind Lundqvist. And so Jones and Talbot both seem to have worked out really nicely for their respective teams.
Oh, very well. The excellent trade. And I'm sure the Kings, when they originally made that, you know, when they moved Jones, probably didn't think that he would end up in their own division, which is how it panned out. And obviously worked out very well for the San Jose Sharks. And also, you know, when you look at general managers, Doug Wilson, you know, they haven't always won. Obviously, they never won the Stanley Cup, first appearance there. But I'm not sure there's a GM who has been less fearful to make big trades than him.
Yeah, for sure. He's made some big deals over the years. The thing that's been interesting to me about Wilson is, I mean, they've been through a lot the last few years through the tumultuous times. I mean, if you look at the way this San Jose thing has gone from, you know, stripping the captaincy off of Thornton to him and Wilson having the very public war of words and the comments that were made to those, you know, Wilson making it clear that he maybe wanted to move those guys, but they're not willing because of no trades to, it has been anything but rosy. And in my estimation, Wilson hasn't really been willing to be as patient as, you know, the patience that he's been forced to have is paying off. But I think if he'd had his way, he'd have been blowing guys out of there over the last couple of years. But because of the no trades that he'd handed out, he wasn't able to break up the party the way I think he wanted to. Thornton and company held their ground, stayed put, and now they're putting it together. They've gotten over that hump. So Wilson's made some good moves, fixed their goaltending. He's helped rebuild the back end. Burns was a real good pickup when they got him a number of years ago. Like, he's added some important pieces. But I think he would have dismantled this thing had he been able to over the last couple of seasons.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Schauger, a trade coming down today. The San Jose Sharks sat away one of their draft picks from 2014, who they couldn't sign. They would have put him back in the draft. And although they would have got a fourth rounder had that happened, they end up trading him to Detroit today for a third rounder. The reason I bring that up is, do you think Steven Stamkos will have his rights traded before July 1st?
I still think there's room to negotiate. I think Steve Yzerman has a number in mind. And I think if he can make it work at that number, they'll sign him. And if he can't, they'll trade his rights. I think it's real simple. I think he's, I don't exactly know what that number is. But they've got some important deals there that they need to get done. And one thing they have learned is that they don't necessarily have to have Stamkos to get them around the bend. And so I think they have a number in mind that works. And if they can get it done, it gets done. But I don't think they'll hesitate to trade his rights. I think especially is made easier by what they've been able to accomplish here. So if you're asking me to bet on it, I'd say, I have a feeling that he probably goes to market, because I don't know that he'll want to take the kind of money that Yzerman will be willing to put on the table for him. I mean, the 8 isn't just going to get it done, let's be honest. But you start pushing that first number to a 9, and now, you know, over a long term, and what Yzerman can give him is the extra year that others can't. That maybe changes things a little bit, but I think he probably goes to market, looking to hit a bigger number and hit that home run.
Well, and here's the thing, and I've written it, I've done all the analysis on it. I'm just not sure Steven Stamkos is somebody that I tie my cart to for paying 9.5 or 10 million a year to right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that sentiment is probably shared. I mean, and they haven't made things easy on themselves. Like, they've got, and this is the thing, this is why you have to be so careful in not making mistakes, not stepping in it, because then later on down the road, when it's time for you to start paying the guys that should be no-brainers, every mistake you've made along the way comes back and bites you. Like, $5.5 million for Matt Carl? Like, are you kidding me on a deal like that? I mean, even 4.6 for Garrison. You know, they've got a few deals on the books that are just, if they hadn't have made those mistakes in that moment, now you're dealing with different things down the road. Even $5.8 million a year for Ryan Callahan. I mean, my goodness. Even if you shave a percentage off of each of those deals, well, now there's the difference you've made up, and you're able to sign Stamkos without worrying about it. But when you look at who they need to get done, like, man, oh, man, between, you know, Kucherov's who's unrestricted, you know, Johnson and Palat are going to need to get done after next season. You know, they've got Hedman who's going to be due after next season and going to require significant raises. They've got, you know, now the one thing they have going for them is they just might have something in Vasilevsky here. And that might allow them to make a move with Bishop, which can free up some space.
Yeah, well, Now, I'm not sure if Bishop has a no movement clause or not in his deal, but yeah, that's definitely a possibility, especially with the potential of an expansion draft coming in and then having to expose a goaltender. I just, you know, Tampa Bay's a team, man. When you look at Bishop's out, Stamkos is out, Stroman was out. You know, that's, you know, almost, if you're not your best defense, when your second best defense, when your best regular season goal scorer for sure, your best goaltender, and they're one win away from the Stanley Cup final. They've got some really good depth, and a lot of those guys that were up for contract this summer and next summer, and that's where I'm like, that's why I think it's a foregone conclusion Stamkos isn't returning to Tampa Bay, strictly for cap purposes and the fact that team's proven they can win without him.
Well, okay, but consider this, right? What's Stamkos' cap hit right now? $7.5 million?
Yeah.
So if they got to pay him $9 million, right? So that's another $1.5 million on the cap, right? So to keep Stamkos, you got to pay him another $1.5 million on the cap from what you've been paying him, right? Which, okay, it's not ideal, but it's not like he's due, a $6 million a year raise. They don't have to kick up the cap hit that much. They just got to go long term and lock him in. So where do you find that money? Well, if you believe you have a starting goaltender in Vasilevsky, and they might, he's got one more year at 925, then he's restricted. If you can find somewhere that Bishop's willing to go, and if you can get a deal done there, well, there's in the first year, there's $5 million you're saving on your cap by making that move, plus whatever you got to pay a backup for Vasilevsky, right? If you can package, maybe you go the other way and say, okay, we're going to move Vasilevsky, but whoever takes him is going to have to take Matt Carl with him, something
fair.
Like that.
Sure, yep.
So maybe there's a way that you can take the extra asset you have in net and turn that into some cap space for yourself. You got to be creative about it, but it doesn't make sense to me. Like, for how good Vasilevsky is, it doesn't make sense to have him sitting on the bench for 35 games a year when you've got that much organizational asset tied up in a backup goalie. Move him. Buy yourself some breathing room, either some cap space or, allow yourself to move someone else. So it's tight, but there maybe can be some creativity there.
Shocker, it's prediction Thursday. Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, who are you calling to win?
I think it's probably over.
What? Yeah, who wins the series tonight? What was that? I think it's probably over. What over what? Like, is it over under? Who wins the game tonight?
I'm just seeing if you bust me on my bad math.
Oh, jeez. Over.
No, you know what? I think it's been a really good Cinderella story with Tampa doing what they've done with all the injuries and stuff. So I'm going to say Tampa gets by.
Going to Tampa. All right. Well, we've got one vote for Pittsburgh from Jameson, and now you won Tampa. We will combine all the votes at the end of the show with all of our listeners at Texas at 10-12-60 because it's back working now, and we will see what happens. Shogger, enjoy your practicing, and send me your freaking songs.
Okay, will do, buddy.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.